Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I've been waiting all day to talk to my next guest about the new Trump ad that's out. Evidently, there are a bunch of images during the ad that they've put out of Joe Biden praying, where they're attempting to make him look, well, feeble and old and Dalton and, you know, all those things. And he's just actually praying. And it's one of those weird things, because didn't Trump win the evangelical vote? Anyway, that's why I've asked my good friend, former congressman and political analyst Bob Ney to come talk with us. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thank you.
So have you seen the new ad out by the Trump campaign?
Right. And now, aren't they trying to actually mock him for kneeling?
They're trying to mock him for a lot of things. You know, I'm looking at this ad, I'm going, you know, it's whatever they can do to hit him, because he's kicking their behind right now.
Right. And he has a $283 million buy coming.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and you know what? If you have a $283 million buy, which is what Biden has, without putting it in writing, you're not really worrying about money right now. So money is coming in.
Yeah, I got to think. I got to think a lot of money is coming in right now, because, you know, everybody I talk to, you know, they're freaking out. Because, you know, economically, the country's heading in the wrong direction. You know, 2.5 million businesses closed, 54 million people first-time unemployment filers. Things are not good. And this administration has really done nothing to lead us out of that. So I got to think the moneyed interests are going, you know, we might need a change.
Right. Now, of course, in this ad, too, Joe Biden was kneeling in all reality to speak to a child.
Right.
And they're trying to make it look like he was doing, you know, the American flag alternative quote. And I think that's what, you know, what they were trying to also achieve. You're also going to see pictures of him in China. And you're going to see, you know, just different you know, themes. And it's going to be kind of the same one, though. You know, Biden will let people burn your homes down. You know, Biden will kneel to people. Biden will, you know, basically get a second summer home in Beijing, China. I mean, you're going to see this.
Oh, absolutely. I'm waiting for the Twitters to put, you know, to basically Photoshop Biden everywhere. I've been waiting for that all day, because I guess now it's okay to Photoshop in these ads. I mean, honesty, and I know honesty and politics don't go together, but at least at some point in the past, I'd like to believe that there was at least a little bit of honesty, instead of, you know, there was the one image of, you know, Biden, I guess he's touching his forehead, where they put a microphone in it. They actually Photoshopped a microphone into his hand.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Well, yeah, you're going to see. And you know, he was talking to a child, but again, and it's been pointed out about Trump's ad, but I don't think they care. I don't think they care.
Yeah.
Because I heard, when I viewed this, I heard from people saying, well, he was kneeling. Was that at the football game? You know, that's what they do. And
so you think it's going to work? You think it's...
No, I don't think. I mean, is it going to be effective for people sitting there that, you know, like Trump? Yes. Of course, anything will be effective. For people that are just totally disgusted with the system, if they think he was just kneeling to someone or against the flag, quote unquote, maybe you'll make a difference. I just don't think it's an effective ad. Now, to me, if you wrap him around China and you take his statements he's made with his own voice and do some of that, he has to defend that. I mean, I still think that's his big. And it's not because I love to politically beat up China, which I do. I'm not going to lie about it. I always have, because I think they are unfair to our workers. But Biden has to make sure they come out swinging on that one, you know, and go against what Trump's going to say about China.
No, we agree on the China front. In fact, you know, since you brought China up, you know, what are your thoughts on banning TikTok?
You know, right. Well, this gets personal, because my daughter can't stand TikTok, because she has a teenage daughter, right? So she doesn't like TikTok anyway. So I've heard about TikTok for quite a while. But TikTok itself, look, The bottom line is China started this game, and that was in an article today, just stated just like that. They did. They started this game. There was a point in time, because the Internet was new under Bill Clinton's term, right? And then it came into Bush, and there was a push by both Clinton and Bush and eventually Obama to have this kind of global cooperation to build networks. That was out there.
Right.
Some people liked it, you know, some didn't, but the bottom line is China killed that. I mean, they started their own game, their own networks, because they don't want anybody controlling anything that they do, because they want to control people so they can keep certain things out of the hands of their people.
Right.
Such as, you know, freedom of speech and seeing things. So I think that there's two ways to answer what you just asked. I think, number one, I love it. If they're cracking down on TikTok, I love it. Here's the problem, though. Well, number two, I should say, if Bill Gates buys it, I could care less. You know, Bill Gates, Bezos, whoever, you know, whoever wants to buy it can buy it and stabilize it. But here's the problem. You can't, you know, the president cannot basically, you know, try to cut a deal for them to do it or some incentive, you know, for them to do it.
Right. And in fact, if you remember, he said that, you know, he thinks he should get a cut of whatever right. The sale price is.
And I saw that and I thought, why would you say that? I mean, why on earth would you say you should get a cut of it?
Because that's who he is, man. He's a con man. That's his gig. He's no different than the local loan shark who needs his VIG. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know. Still amazes me, though. He could have a win on just saying, Bill Gates, go get TikTok. But I think clamping down on China anytime we can, I think, is good until they change their behavior.
Is that possible, though? I mean, is it possible that China's ever going to change their behavior? Because as you pointed out, you know, I'm a big fan of net neutrality. And thanks to, you know, Trump, we've killed that in this country. But I think globally net neutrality is the best option. China clearly not ever going to allow that to happen. So how can you continue to deal with a country that you have, you know, just completely bipolar views on society, on you know, all kinds of
workers' rights,
human rights, you know, civil rights, go down the list. You know, how do you continue to do that? But then there's the other side of this, and you know, a listener had asked me, okay, you know, we've banned TikTok. What's going to go down the road? What does this look like when the Chinese start saying, well, we're going to ban GM or we're going to ban whatever? And I'm like, I'm actually okay with that.
I am too. And look, when the World Trade Organization permanent trade vote for China came up, I call it the unholy, and my friends hate to hear me say what I'm about to say, but the unholy alliance. It was a Gingrich-Clinton deal, okay? Gingrich and Clinton saw eye to eye on permanent trade status. I personally sat with Gingrich, and I personally sat with Bill Clinton, and both of them, you could have had them in the same room because they both said the same thing. If we get this, we are going to change China's behavior. People are going to get human rights. They're going to get great working conditions. We have the tools if you do this. Of course, I didn't vote for it. You know, I was on with Bernie Sanders on the, you know, doing press events trying to stop it. But we did it. And that was a delivery to China exactly what it wanted. And after that, it had a field day all these years. So my attitude now would be, and if I was still back in office, it would be the same thing, is, okay, if they kick GM, they kick it out. Let's make cars here.
Yeah.
You know, we'll do it. And the government should step up to give incentives, as long as, you know, the corporation doesn't just suck all the money out, as long as workers are taken care of. I've got no problem with that either.
Yeah, here's my problem. Yesterday we had a guest on talking about the PPP loans. And, you know, she's my China go-to person. And she said, you know, just millions and millions of dollars went to Chinese companies through these PPP loans that, you know, who thought of that when you were crafting the CARES Act, that, you know, a foreign country is going to, the Chinese government, and it's not Chinese companies, it's the Chinese government who owns these state-owned enterprises, who literally taking our money. We're borrowing, this is the thing, we're borrowing money so that we can give it back to the people we're borrowing it from while still owing them the money.
And the other thing, too, and this is where the Congress really, really failed. First of all, they didn't require the administration to even tell them, you know, who were getting certain loans. But number two, they didn't write in enough. I know it was an urgent situation. I know about the virus. They didn't take in enough time to write in some rules to this thing. I know a personal case of a law firm that somebody applied for $10,000. They were told they could get $250,000 for a law firm, and the head lawyer turned around to the other lawyer and said, "I don't want any part of that." But they could get it if they wanted it. $250,000 for what? They didn't lay off any lawyers, you know.
Yeah, no, I had talked about a number of the conservative think tanks and, you know, the anti-gay, you know, groups.
Right.
And the Ayn Rand Institute, which is, yeah, I got to tell you, if there's one moment where you go, the conservative movement has lost their way, it's when the Ayn Rand Institute has its hand out for government money.
Right, right.
Or am I the only one who sees that as really kind of ironic?
No, I mean, I think it's wrong, and I just don't know how they look themselves in the mirror to do that.
Yeah, well, I guess at the end of the day, we all have our price, right?
Right, you got it.
We all have our price. Now, China's also saying that we're endangering peace because we're not allowing them just to take over the entire South China Sea and sweep up Taiwan and all of that.
Oh, we've done something even worse. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar said yesterday he's going to go and lead a delegation to Taiwan in the coming days, and China just had an absolute fit over it. Why are they going to Taiwan? This is a slap to the face of the Chinese people. You know, going how dare they go to Taiwan? And of course they do this. If you really want to see them freak out, go ahead and have a meeting with high level people in the Dalai Lama. Then they also freak out over that. That one freaks them out, I think, even more than Taiwan. You know, it's, again, they want you to do everything, you know, that they tell you to do. You know, don't engage Hong Kong. Don't engage Taiwan. It's theirs. You have no right to do this. I mean, it's not like we went over and said we were going to help launch missiles.
Right.
It's a visit of the Health and Human Services Secretary. That's all.
Yeah, it's not like we, you know, did like Eisenhower did and sent the Pacific Fleet to...
Right.
to surround the Taiwan. Yeah, we didn't do that.
Right.
Kind of makes you wonder, you know, where we are as a globe. And I talked about this yesterday. I don't know if you saw the story, but Japan is now looking into first strike capabilities. They're now, you know, trying to revamp their military to be able to be aggressors. And it's one of these moments where you go, is it that they look at us and say, you know, we're no longer able to keep the peace in the globe, or maybe we're the cause of it. I don't know.
Well, and it's amazing because it's in their constitution. That's why we are over there. It's in their constitution to not even have, you know, a military buildup. And that's in their constitution. But now it's decided to scrap, I think it was the Aegis, I think it was. It was a land-based missile defense system, and it kind of surprised everybody, and now they're talking about first strike capability. And it is, I don't know, you know, where this came from or how it develops, but yes, I mean, sort of like eye for eye, the whole world's blind. Everybody's into a buildup.
Yeah, and you know, the person that I talked to yesterday said, you know, maybe this is not a bad thing, and that maybe China starts diverting some of its resources to building its military instead of robbing and stealing our manufacturing. And I'm not so sure I like that idea. I'm not sure it's such a great idea. But I guess at some point, you getting them to stop stealing from us, I guess you could have to do that one way or another.
Well, it would be good, you know. And, of course, we should have made a heavier alliance with India. India has a border with Chinese. They had an Indo-Chinese war. After India allowed the Dalai Lama in 1959, and eventually there was a 1962 border war between the countries, but India has complained about China forever. And the next thing you know, look what China is doing. China tries to outreach with the development program to India. Then it does a deal with the Iranians, China does, and it just keeps spreading its tentacles. So I think we have to, you know, play a little smarter on all this. That doesn't mean that we always think we can fly a missile somewhere or a military, you know, aircraft somewhere. We have to be a little bit smarter, I think, with some alliances we do.
No, in fact, you know, this is something I talked about back in 2010, and I think we talked about it at some point. You remember when the Tea Party was losing their mind over foreign aid?
Yes.
You know, for me, this is the result of cutting that foreign aid. If we're not filling that space, somebody will fill the void, and it's been the Chinese who have come in, and they've given very lucrative contracts and taken over mineral rights and done all the things, well, that we used to do.
Correct. And then Iran, again, the Iranian government is no, you know, walk in the park picnic. I understand that. But we cut the Iran nuclear deal under Trump. We cut off Iran. We were going to strangle it. John Bolton came in. They won't be able to breathe. We've got them now. And what did they do? They still continued to talk to Europe, and then the Iranians cut a big deal with the Chinese. Well, they're about to, with the Chinese. And the Chinese are going to help them find a way around our sanctions. And where does that put us at?
Yeah. No, and this is the weird thing, because we see our allies, you know, doing things with China. We see our allies staying in the nuclear deal, our quote-unquote allies, who, you know, we've kind of abandoned. So Biden's got a lot of, you know, if you know, the conservatives thought Obama did the apology tour when he took over, you know, what's Biden going to have to do to get those countries to come back to being, okay, you were crazy for a while, but now things are better.
Now, one good thing about Joe Biden, you know, somebody asked me the other day, they said, you served with him, what's the one thing that stands out about Joe Biden? And I told them, foreign policy. Joe Biden in the Senate, besides, you know, other things he was known for, chair of judiciary, and et cetera, but he was considered one of the best foreign policy people ever that had been there. So I think, you know, Biden would, yeah, you're right, would kind of have to do an apology tour. But he could, I think, quickly attempt to mend some fences, you know, with especially Europe, our allies in Europe.
And finally, it's supposed to happen this week, and it's probably not going to happen today. No, the VP choice. We're going away for a little camping trip over the weekend, so it figures the big news story I will be away for. But any putting any money down on who it's going to be between the flip of the coin of Harris or Rice?
Yes, Susan Rice. That's my money's on Susan Rice, because Biden has a long history with her. So when it comes down to Senator Harris or Susan Rice, I think he's going to go with Susan Rice.
I thought so too. For a while now, I've been saying she's the choice, and we'll see where it goes. I there was some time where I had thought maybe Tammy Duckworth would be pulled into it for, you know, military reasons, and, you know, Val Demings was highly considered. But
right.
I think ultimately it's going to come down to who he's worked with in the past and who he's comfortable with. And look, you know, Rice is going to bring a lot of the Obama crowd in too.
I said that today. I was telling a consultant today that asked me what I thought about it, and I said, look, she will bring it. Not that he won't have, Biden won't have Obama support, but she's going to bring everybody along. You know, a lot of people are going to say, okay, you know, it's pretty stable from their point of view, and she'll bring that, you know, to the campaign. Now, of course, the conservatives will go crazy because of Benghazi,
oh, yeah.
You know, which had 595 hearings. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it had a bunch of hearings, and then everybody tried to, you know, nail different people beyond Hillary, including Susan Rice. And so, you know, for the conservatives, that'll fire them up a bit. But then again, you've got conservatives out there with the Lincoln Project and everything else going against the president, so that'll kind of wash.
We'll see how this plays out. Any October surprises? You seeing anything? This is a weird election time. Anything you see coming around the corner?
The October surprise is done. Now, here's where I think it will attempt to be. You can't interfere in the Justice Department in the course of an election. That is an actual rule in justice. You can't interfere with an election. I think, though, the Attorney General may take some kind of interference right up to the last week before. I don't think it's going to matter. Because I think the October surprise, this was in a story today, but I've been thinking about this, it's gone. A lot of people want to vote in this election, and they're going to vote early as they can because, you know, the postal system, et cetera. So I think that any October surprise is absolutely going to have the least effect in the last 50 years of an October surprise.
Yeah, I think you're right. But and to highlight the